Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wonderful Wednesday. Woo, woo, Wednesday. Maybe we should call that Woo, Woo Wednesday, Wisdom Wednesday. Great to connect with everyone, as always. And hi, everyone in the chat, known as the Sacred Space and Empowerment Room. And we're live. And Tamara's putting in the chat, refresh to hear. Sometimes you got to refresh the browser. Sometimes you got to refresh your life. Sometimes you got to reboot your life. Woo, have the energies been intense. Can I get a woo, woo? How's everybody doing? I've been feeling it. I've been going through it. And people are just a little bit, I'm kind of ducking for cover and doing my more meditation and deeper work, inner work. But when energy gets stirred up like this, it is ultimately about transformation and rooting out, R-O-O-T-I-N-G, rooting out what is holding us back or no longer working. And I'll be Tamara's saying, no kidding. Oh, my God, I know. Hey, everyone listening by phone, hi. And hi, everyone that's would like to get a reading or chat or ask a question. I see some callers on the line. If you browsing through, stumbled onto Awakenings, and you're like, what's going on here? Or I want to talk to Michelle or get a reading, that number is 347-539-5122. Okay, 347-539-5122. Sorry, I was reading something in the chat by Piver. Hi, Siren Dream. Welcome, everyone. Oh, my God, you can. Hi, I'm finally able to join. Welcome. My eyes are dilated from the optometrist. That's okay. I spell my name with one L and also two L's. It's fine. Anyway, if you want to get a reading, you want to chat, that number is 347-539-5122. I also want to give a nice little etheric hug to all of you that have been leaving the wonderful feedback on iTunes, and I really appreciate it. And those of you that are listening later in the archives via iTunes, BTR, FM Player, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the podcast stations, we welcome you also. You're with us in spirit, even if you're doing something else, or maybe you're at work. Also, Yoshi is doing better, kind of got on some little pain meds and anti-inflammatory, but have been able, those of you that didn't know, my wonderful little doggy, my fur baby, has really been going through it, but her blood work is amazing. It's that she's so healthy, and it turns out it's just a little kind of osteopathic, orthopedic, arthritic kind of thing that's happening. So, but she has a really good diet and really healthy, so it could be worse at her age. So, and she's looking at me right now. Hi, boo-boo. So just going to give her extra love and more greens, more supplements, more glucosamine, chondroitin, more liquid health canine supplement, and a little more turmeric and just some good supplements and stuff. So anyway, I wanted to thank those of you that sent the healing light energy and prayers. I really, really appreciate those of you that took the time. And it worked. I think I mentioned, saw white halo of light around her, encircling her, and she did have a little mass, a little kind of tumor thing, fatty mass. And I did energy work on it, the one that I teach in my workshops, and it went away within a couple of days, totally gone. And yeah, so I'm really happy about that. And I'm happy to be with all of you. So big hugs to everyone. Really, really did make a difference and does make a difference. So yeah, so good to be here. All right, we are going to really dive into readings. But first, I really want to, I kind of had a whole plan talked and I tuned in, but then I got an amazing question. Let's see who's, from an email. Let's see, a listener. Let me go back to it. And I think this really applies to a lot of people. It's a quite a long email. It's from Kimberly. And won't give last names, but you know who you are. And she's saying, I'm a weekly listener of your show, and thank you for all you do. I want your advice because I want to reach out to you because get your advice on something. And so basically she's saying for the past few months, she's been working with an energy healer and doing some exercises on her own. She really feels like she's been clearing a lot of energy and healing and feeling good about the results. But in the past 2 months, I've been feeling some major resistance around my job and today experiencing a total standstill. It does not make any sense. I've pulled together plans of action and have laid out a specific strategy to achieve the goals I need to hit. But for some reason, I cannot bring myself to do any of it. I've even invested in a class relating to my profession in order to motivate myself. It has gotten to the point that it takes three times the energy to do basic job activities to keep afloat. Again, I'm not feeling the same resistance to life in general, just towards my career. I used to be a morning riser, and it's been nearly torture to get up and get ready. Once I get into the groove, the dread lifts, but getting up and out has become harder than it has been. I don't think I'm depressed, but I wonder if I've hit a subconscious limit and would like to see what's causing this resistance. Whatever it is, I would appreciate your insight. Okay. Well, for one thing, if you go to my blog, soulplayground.life or soulplayground.com, and you probably even Google, but anyway, if you go to, I did a long blog a while back on the signs and symptoms of awakening or the steps of awakening and what happens. And a couple things happen. Sometimes we open a channel. Sometimes you do hit a limit or something subconsciously. Very often what happens is that you, in some of the awakening, you get to a point where certain things don't have as much meaning. Sometimes they'll have meaning again. Sometimes it's pushing you in such an area. And one of the common things I know we've talked about it on the show is that, let's see, Soul Playground, Siren Dreams, thanks. Just Soul Playground, I don't think you have to put just soulplayground.com, /soulplayground. You can either go to soulplayground.com or soulplayground.life. So either one will get you there. I like .life. And then just do a search, and it's the signs and symptoms of ascension, and awakening. And I go into the physical, the physiological, and the mental, emotional signs. So you have to ascribe meaning. Sometimes things that are perhaps more mundane to us, which we could do before, we can't do or don't want to do. You know, and I've heard that with people like, oh, I don't really want to work. Thanks, Divine Mystic. Okay, comes up that way. I'll have to talk to the web designer. I don't know why it's coming up that way. Okay, so in the chat. But those of you that are listening, it's soulplayground.life. Oh, thank you, Siren Dreams. Very cool. So what you can do, and sometimes you're doing a lot of deeper inner work, and so you're a bit more tired. Which I say in that case, do a refresher. Go for a hike, be around water, take more baths. There is an amazing bath, an apple cider vinegar bath, and it has to be natural, organic apple cider vinegar. And it cleanses the aura, and it really pulls regular toxins within the body, but energetic toxins that are in the etheric body, the aura, and the emotional body. And what you do is you get the bath water as hot as you can take it, and you put 3 cups of apple cider, 3 to 5, depending how much, of apple cider vinegar, and you get your journal, get something to write with, and you sit in there for 20 to 30 minutes, and then whatever comes up, you just journal it out, and you move it out. And this really cleanses the emotional body and helps get any residue and also bring to the surface anything that is subconsciously weighing on you, or maybe there's some patterns you need to, you know, work through. But I have seen, this is the reason I wanted to, you know, address this, is I have definitely seen this before and, you know, even experienced it before. Sometimes when we're coming into a deep change, we don't want to do things like how we used to do. We need to change it up. Some of it sometimes is getting in touch with the inner child part of us that wants to play more or wants to do something, you know, lighter or more fun or creative, and be in nature. You know, nature is very healing. So water, definitely, baths like that, salt water, anything, even jacuzzi or something, you know, just putting that extra time into nurture. But also remember, sometimes when we're doing deep work, whether it's energetic work, mental, emotional work, I mean, ultimately it's all energetic anyway, the it brings stuff up, you know, and you have to, that's why I do a lot of energy work, and I trained in that, and I teach people that, and I've done it, I don't know, since the late 80s, I guess. But I'm also a big proponent, you really need to do cognitive work as well, or talking, you know, whether it's resonance repatterning, hypnotherapy, alpha theta healing. You need to bring it into the cognitive and move things through and get an understanding, and so, and reform, repattern what you're working on. So it could be a call to do that. It could be that you're saturated with the energy work. You know, you've reached your limit on that. Or it could be a big chunk is wanting to come up and out, you know, and you just have to help it along. If it continues, also look on a body level of your supplements. People don't realize how much energy, you know, and it's also calories. Calories are energy that you burn when you're doing therapy sessions, inner work, healing work, and energy work. You know, I have to take extra supplements. I used to take a lot more B vitamins. Maybe I'll go back to it again. But I usually take a lot of, you know, spirulina, chlorella, ginger. I eat foods that have a lot of Bs in them as well. You know, and drink a lot of water. That's another thing, Kim. Make sure you're drinking a lot of water and staying really hydrated. And make sure the water is more on the alkaline, because when toxic feelings and toxicity even comes from food with what we eat, right? So it's just the residue or what's too much or what's left over. And so what helps that is water. Water is also a conduit. It creates a conduction, if you will, to when we're opening up, we become more magnetic, right? And so it's like a conductor to for the electrical energy, that healing energy that's being directed at you, to be able to kind of attach and pull things up, right? Almost like if you're in water and you put your hand in an electrical outlet, right? The electricity, woo, it's like, wow. Okay, so it helps move things up and out, and it helps to anchor the energy work clearly and cycle through more and be more, I guess I would say, you know, precise, more detailed, more complete. So that's something to think about also. And again, like I said, as you're clearing the whatever that's coming up for you and you're healing, what's coming up and out, the residue, or we call it toxic emotions or feelings, or just on a healing level, whatever's coming up is more acid in nature. And so the alkaline also offstays it. So you might be more acidic from pulling all this up. You know, that's kind of what I'm getting actually intuitively, that you're much more acidic right now. So having more fruits, more vegetables, more yin foods, even, you know, oranges, grapefruit, you know, which seems acidic in nature, but when it goes into the body, it turns more alkaline. getting more of an alkaline water, more oxygenated water. I mean, there's even like, I'm trying to think what they're called, cell salts, you know, tissue salts that can help you. Cell food is another thing. Make sure your electrolytes, you know, potassium salt ratio is okay, you know. So, yeah, but people don't really, when you're doing a lot of healing work or clearing work, or you're, whether it's, you know, and especially if it's energetic, you are pulling up a lot out. And so those deep-seated emotions or feelings or stuck energy is more acidic, is acidic in nature. And so you need to, it's coming up, it's in your body until it moves through. So you need to do things that are more alkaline. That's why I suggest water. That's why I suggest being nature, you know, hiking, adjust your foods to be able to let the body mind process and things to move through the body as well. And give it a voice through journaling. But very, very good question. A lot of people go through this. It's not uncommon. And Dream Master is saying, a friend of mine was talking on this, heard blueberries are good. Oh, yes, yes. A lot of vitamin C, also very good for your immune system, by the way. And that would be under fruits that I mentioned earlier. So that would be, thank you, Dream Master. That's a good, you know, a good focus. I think that's it as I'm tuning in, kind of scanning. But a lot of people go through this, you know, it happens more often than not, and sometimes it can be, you know, a combination of things that are going on with you. The one thing that I do get with you is the more water and more alkaline, and I think blueberries also have a lot of potassium. I know they have a lot of vitamin C, B vitamins. They're a phytonutrient. Do more smoothies, get some spirulina. What helps clear residue, clear toxins within the body as well is chlorella. So, putting that in the smoothie, a little chlorella and spirulina. Let's see, and Dream Master put, and yes, I mentioned to her about connecting to nature. Yeah, nature will help as well. But keep us posted, Kim, okay? Let us know how you're doing. Let us know if any of these suggestions resonate with you and what you try and what helps. And if you can, try to call in, and we'll do a little tune-in for you. All righty. Want everybody to know, second half of the program, we have a great guest on, Change the Story of Your Health with Carl Greer. And we're going to be talking about his latest book, and diving in to actually health and healing with him, which I'm really looking, forward to connecting with him. So stick around for that. Change the Story of Your Health using shamanic and Jungian techniques for healing. Yes. Right up our alley, everyone, right? Right up our alley. And he had another book, Change Your Story, Change Your Life, I think as well. Previous book, Change Your Story, Change Your Life. Yeah. So stick around for that. All right, let's get to callers. Okay. The first one is 256-473. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome to the you have a question?
Yes, yes, my question is, I am looking for a new position because I'm moving to Alabama. And do you mm-hmm. see that going well?
Do I see the move going well?
Yes.
Or looking for the position?
The position.
Yeah, I do. Now, are you driving there? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought, because I'm seeing you leave. I see you driving. And I do see you getting work, and I think it's going to be a good move for you.
Okay.
You might have to drive. It might be a little more spread out than what you're at, where you're at. But I definitely do see you getting the job, and I definitely see you moving, and I definitely see you driving there. All right, Judy, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, 847-924, you're on air.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's hi, Michelle. This is Sophia checking in from last week.
Oh, hey, welcome back. What's your question?
Okay. So my question is, I sort of have been sort of suffering from really bad physical and emotional health since the beginning of the year, and it's really weird because I'm only two, and you know, I'm in pretty good health now, and
right.
I've been to a lot of doctors, and you know, apparently, you know, like there's some, you know, raw medical statistics. There's technically nothing wrong with me, but I don't know. It's like I often feel really tired, and I mean, this has been going on since January. It's really tired. I need like a lot of sleep, and also it's like I've been trying a bunch of like antidepressants, and I feel like, you know, like there's a lot of side effects, but it doesn't feel like it's really, you know, like bringing me, you know, like really like a better mood or anything. I think that I think it's something else, and I don't know. Like I'm trying to figure out why this year has been such a tornado. If that makes sense. Tornado,
what do you mean,
like,
tornado?
Tornado as in, it just seems like nothing's going smoothly.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that happens when we're a bit off track. I do feel with you, have you, you know, somebody put in the chat maybe thyroid. But one of the things I do feel around you, sometimes this happens to us when we're stuck at a crossroads and we don't know which way to go. And our mind will, if it's not ready to make a decision, it'll actually make us more tired. One of the benefits of not clinical depression, but being quote unquote depressed, is to reassess or look within. And we don't usually do that. Sometimes we get melancholy. Sometimes we need to reevaluate our life. And so things slow down so that we'll do that. And we haven't been taught how to do that, and it's not really in our lexicon, if you will, in society to do that. So we usually push to get busier. So my sense is there's a part of you that wants to make changes or needs to make changes but doesn't know how and is a bit flustered or frustrated and not wanting to move forward. So sometimes depression is our own energy rolled back onto ourselves. Now, again, I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about when there's been loss or confusion, or we just don't feel like we have the zeal for life, or we're going through the motions because we don't really know what to do or what we want to do. And we're trying to make a decision to do something that we think we should do, or that will just basically kind of keep us busy. So psychologically, that can be really damaging, not just to the mind, you know, our mental, emotional health, but ultimately our health physiologically and physically, because everything breaks down emotionally to hormones, right? So it does affect mm-hmm. us, you know, hormonally, just like worrying a lot affects the adrenals specifically, but also can affect the kidneys. I've worked with in body, mind medicine. I've worked with a lot of, I'm not saying you have this, but I've worked with a lot of women in the past, and that can tend to have a lot of urinary tract infections. And usually that has to do with some emotional issue, you know, with the bladder. So anyway, there's a lot of correspondence. But I feel for you, it is about getting in an environment where you feel safe, you feel comfortable, and getting the steps or finding out what you really want to do, what's going to bring you fulfillment, what's going to make you happy again. So it's almost like a slow death, right? Does that make sense?
Michelle, you are amazing. That's exactly how I felt. I didn't even have to explain anything.
Okay.
But
well,
yeah,
sometimes,
actually,
let me explain it this way to you and everyone else, is that there's something that happens in the mind, and when it's a slow death, when we're not really living, we have to do something, but we're still on this earth or this planet. So things start slowing down. We start sleeping more. We start watching more TV. These are all diversions or distractions because we're not making the changes that we need to do. You know, obviously some diversion is good. It's actually healthy for you. Watch TV, sleep, take a nap. I love naps. But when we're doing it so much, it's an escape. It's kind of the mind going, okay, shut down. We don't know what to do, or we're so overwhelmed, or we're so confused that we don't know what to do. Let's put the blankets over our head and not get up, right? So it's the chicken or the egg. Sometimes that can happen. I had a thyroid issue before. It made me, you know, I was zipping. I was doing TV and media. So it was purely physical and physiological. It's something that my mom had passed on. So, you know, I had to deal with it in my own, you know, holistic way. But it affected me. But sometimes people go through something emotionally and it affects you physically and physiologically. And so what I would say for you, it's handling the emotional aspect as well. I feel if you start handling the emotional aspect, you'll start getting that little fire going, that little spark that turns into a fire, and have that joie de vivre, you know, excitement again for life. But right now it's a way of you coping, of not knowing what to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's hard to put in words how accurate that is. But I do have to say, though, that the advice you gave me last week was really, really good. I think that, you know, taking your advice to, you know, like have more social contact, actually, it really my mood a lot.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't remember when I channel for people. I don't remember what I said, but now that even makes more sense, because when we have social interaction, that actually raises, you know, our happy hormones, you know, serotonin, you know, dopamine. There's also the I can't think of it, the bonding hormone from touch, from hugging, or good conversations. Oxytocin. Yes, oxytocin. So, and women have it more, actually, than guys. The oxy from talking. So, just the fact of women relating, having a great conversation, releases oxytocin. So, more of those kinds of activities are going to help you. So, getting that social contact, and there's a lot of studies on this, especially in elderly, how rapid their health declines by not having the social contact. Contact, and a lot of health issues can happen. So you're on the right track if you're getting that social contact. That's going to be a biggie for you. And just give it a bit of time and keep connecting, and those little happy hormones will start coming up more, right?
Yeah.
All right, sweetie, thanks. I'm going to go to the next. I got to go to the next. We've got quite a few callers, and I want to make sure we get everybody. But I'm so happy that you called
back
in.
Thank you so much.
And I love your question. I think it's going to help so many people by hearing us talk and share. I think it's really going to help a lot of people. So thanks for calling in. Bye.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. Hi, 619-414. You're on air.
Hi, Michelle. This is Carol.
Who is it?
Carol.
Hi, Carol. Welcome. Hey,
thank you so much. Hi. Thank you so much for doing this. My question is, the past couple of years I've been doing a lot of inner work, especially towards my relationship with men, which I've written you about. And I wanted to see if there was anything else that I should be doing and how I'm doing in stepping forward to making myself more open to finding the right one.
Okay, here's the first thing I heard. Make your life your own. So sometimes there's been a rearranging of what you want to do to adapt to the guy, or maybe you're not receiving enough from the individual and you're kind of morphing yourself into that. And that's okay in a dating kind of situation, but it's really right now about you stepping more forward into your life. Is that making sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's something with work and career also, that there could be some transformation or change there of some sort also.
Yeah, I just changed my career path, yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, that's actually going to be good for you. That's
okay.
There's a lot of transformative energy around that. But get out there more. Shine your light more. Really get out there, socialize, be active, create your life, and that's going to draw that right person to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
Yours as well. So I love that I'm here this week. Thank you so much for everything.
I know. I'm so excited you can join us live.
I know. It's very exciting. It's fun. Thank you so, so much.
All right, sweetie. Thanks for calling in. Bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, 678-467. You're on air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great in this moment. Great.
I am so happy. Great. I got a call and I had to answer the call. I was like, I don't know if I missed it or not. So I literally just clicked back over. It's just bizarre. So perfect timing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Like, okay. And exactly the question that I had to ask you about. So it's just so bizarre.
Okay.
Oh, job. I had applied for this director of accounting position with the company. It's a real estate management company. And it hasn't went anywhere. Supposedly I was of the top 10 resumes, but only the top 3 got interviewed. But now it's still open. So my contact on the company side, I've reached back out because now a recruiting firm has the position as a temporary position. That's the call that I was on. So I'm willing to go in as a temp to perm, but I did not tell them I've already applied or anything. What do you say around this whole thing?
I think the temp is better because I feel they don't know exactly what they want and if they're going to either, I don't know, phase out or add something to. There's going to be changes to that position, and that's why they're hiring in this way. They don't know whether to phase it out or to merge it with another position that that the person will actually kind of have double duty, so to speak, you know. So they're working out that, and in fact, I feel like the company is in flux anyway, okay? So I feel going in as a temp, you have a much better chance or choice. And I am feeling, for some reason, I'm feeling that with your career and money situation and what you want to do, probably end of May, June, right around Gemini time, you're going to have some decisions to make, whether you want to stay or whether you want to move forward or what you're wanting to do. I don't know. It seems like it's a company, and I feel them in flux somehow. Does that make sense?
I don't know because I'm not there. My assumption is that it could be some issues over there because this job goes back to February 13th. I got pre-screened by the company's recruiter. Exactly.
Okay.
And then I followed up before, and he was like, you're not out or in. And so I didn't follow up again, and I just kept checking the job board to make sure it was there. And then all of a sudden it went away, and I'm just like, okay, what happened?
Yeah.
And then it posted back up again, and now it's to a recruiter. But my biggest fear is, since I did not disclose, I've already applied, but technically I applied for a permanent position with them, not a contract position. So
I don't see a problem with that. I don't. And give me your first name again. What's your first name?
It's Kathy.
Kathy. Okay. Let me ask again. No, I don't see that as a problem, but what I do see, what you told me just confirms what I was feeling. That's why they took it away. They don't necessarily want somebody in there as a full-time employee until they know what they're going to do with that position. They need it fulfilled, you know, or filled as it is now. But there's something with the money. Do they want to keep paying somebody, you know, take somebody on full time if the position is either, what I hear, going to go away, or they're going to merge it with another position. And so they're looking. That's why you didn't hear back. They don't. There's a conflict there. First, somebody wanted one thing, you know, one type of person, you know, one kind of job description. Now they're wanting, without telling people, because they don't know, they don't, in other words, they don't want to get in hot water with people. They, you know, they don't want to say, okay, this is what you do, this and this, and now it's gone. You know, so if they say it's temporary, if it goes, there's no problem, you know, or it changes. I do feel you getting, I do feel work around you. But I do feel that in a month or two, you know, a month and a half, you're going to have to make a decision whether to stay or go, or if you want the change coming with the position. You know, my sense is the people that – my sense is the recruiter will show the people you're – see, I don't feel you were the problem or the issue. It wasn't about you. It's about the position. I feel you have a really good chance in getting it. I feel like they would like to hire you, but they did not want to hire you or anyone else as a regular employee, because they are in flux and they don't know if that position is going to last or it's going to change quite a bit, I see. You know, so, and that's something that you'll have to decide down the road, whether it still suits you is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
All right, Kathy? Thanks for calling in, and keep us posted, okay?
Thank you.
Much peace. You're so welcome. You are so welcome. Hey, 818-850. Hello.
Hi, Michelle. It's Gail.
Hey.
I had the strangest nightmare last night, and I could use some dream help here.
Okay. Ooh,
oh,
hey,
my God.
Okay.
I'll try to keep this short, but we went on a vacation in a cabin in the woods, and we were inside this cabin, and there were, you know, different people coming and going around. It was just kind of odd, and I went into this other room, and I opened up the closet doors, and two dead people fell out of the closet doors when I opened them. And I was in such shock, I ran back to Don, and I told him. So instead of calling the police, he goes out and buries them. And then all of a sudden I come back in, and there's this strange guy in there that's telling us that, you know, I don't even know why he was there. And then he's telling us that, you know, he had this big confrontation with his girlfriend, and she left him for another guy, and he was so upset. And I just wanted this guy to leave. And the next thing I know, we're all leaving in the car together. We go to this hotel, and Don tells him he has to stay at the hotel, that he can't continue to travel with us. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, this guy killed him, or what's going on? And he takes out a gun, and he shoots Don right in front of me.
Okay.
And so I didn't know if he was going to shoot me. And then the next thing I know, he picks up the phone and he's asking the hotel if they have a room. And I was like, oh, my God.
Okay. So let's look at dreams. When we have a dream, there's many types. We've talked about that a bit. You know, it could be a processing dream. It could be from the subconscious, your next step, or what you need to work on. It could be coming from soul level. Some of them can foretell things or be predictive. But they're rife with symbolism, and so when you look at the dream, what's the overall feeling, the dominant feeling and emotion? That's the first thing we want to look at, right?
Yes.
What was that for you, the
horror.
Dominant feeling or emotion? Was what?
Just
horror?
Shock and horror, just constant shock and horror, trying to recover.
Okay. So we want to look at it literally and figuratively. So you want to see, where's the shock and horror right now in your life, which is extreme fear when we think of a horror movie and something coming out of the blue. So when you look at the dream, we see the people that, if we know them in the dream, represent those people, but they also represent aspects of us. So there could be some stuff that you're working through with Don or helping him through, and you keep getting shocked. You keep getting this shock. You keep getting this horror. There's this fear. So the dream is helping you process the shock of what you're going through in your life and what the underlying fear is. Now,
okay.
When we have strangers come in our dream, it's telling us that we need to integrate. It's a strange energy. It's unfamiliar. And it's usually telling us we need to integrate that energy. And if it's a man, it's a male type of energy. So what does that energy of that strange man have?
Very
strange.
Creepy.
What would you? Okay.
He
what was
so
scary?
Creepy.
So something. Okay. And what was he trying to do?
He was
for
creepy
you?
And I don't even know why he was there. All of a sudden, he was just. I went back into the room, and now he was in the room, and he wasn't really trying to do anything with us. And I don't even know why we took him along. I didn't want anything to do with him. But next thing I know, we're traveling with him.
Mhm. Well, traveling too. Were you in a car?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really
so,
remember the car. It was just like we were
that's
in one
okay.
place, and then we talked about leaving and going in the car, and the next thing I knew, we were in another place. I don't really remember
okay.
a car,
who,
but you know.
And who was driving?
Don
remember?
Asked him to drive, and he threw a fit and said he wouldn't drive. So I said, "I'll drive."
Okay. So that's showing you're being more assertive and taking control. Whatever this shocking situation is, Dawn is in the passenger seat, more passive. You're taking more control. And
right.
something. Sometimes our anger, sometimes there's a part of us that scares us. You know, there's a lot you can do with this kind of dream. You can do dream reentry and go back in, and then instead of being afraid of the person, actually embrace that part, right? That part of you that's trying
okay.
to come through. So what's in the closet, what's being hidden or not seen, those dead bodies, you could look at it, what's something that's dying, something that maybe needs to be revived within you, of the male principle. To me, I'm also seeing maybe you're needing to even stretch out more, maybe to be more vocal,
okay.
be more active in some situations, and it's,
okay.
and it's frightening you. Maybe it's your own, could be your own personal situation or the situation or situations that you're going through with Dawn. So there is something about this stepping out. And of course, when we look at guns, obviously there's, you could say violence, that's about getting rid of something. You know, handling,
okay.
you know, guns can represent, you know, handling something in a certain way, getting rid of it, stopping it. You know, same with fires or blowing things up, blowing up one's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like to some degree, and sometimes our dreams come as a nightmare to kind of wake us up, you know, that.
Yeah, because
again,
I don't remember my dreams very often, and this was just, like, vivid.
Okay. So, and was the gun small or large?
No, it was, like
a little
just a pistol. Or? Yeah, a little handgun.
A little pistol, okay. Okay. Well, what do you want to get rid of? You know, whether it's somebody, yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. So sometimes it's a part of us. Sometimes it's another person that we're having an issue with, you know, or a situation. We want to annihilate it. We want to get rid of it. You know, the thing to look at, too, though, is that sometimes it's what we want to get rid of or annihilate what we feel is the cause of our problems. Sometimes you've been warring with somebody and you've reached your limit, right? One
That's
thing you
true.
Want to look at is, right, sometimes on some level we can say a lot of times anger is at somebody is also self-anger. How are we in this position? You know, I find it interesting
right.
that Don wanted this guy to drive. He didn't want to take the driver's seat. And you said, I'll do it. So there might be a part of you that's, you know, having to integrate also your male side a bit differently where, you know, you don't want to come on so strong. You don't want to have to take things on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of it, too. So there's a few, do you see what I'm getting? There's a few different ways I feel that your inner psyche is presenting you with got to deal more with the shock and the fear, and maybe even communicating it to Dawn. I'm really afraid of whatever the situation is. I'm really afraid of this, of what's going on. You know, I keep getting these shocks. We've got to do something to balance it out. You know, or you have to do more. This is frightening for me. And, you know, again, you being in the driver's seat, that's signaling to me that you're the one that's taking more control of the situation. Sometimes our male energy, and this is, doesn't matter, it's not by gender, it could be a man's dream or a woman's dream, and it could be female energy, but we're working with male because that came up in the dream. Sometimes we have to learn to integrate it differently in our life and look at assertion differently. Or maybe somebody's been aggressive, but now they have to learn to be assertive. Or somebody may be a micromanager leader, and now they're learning a new way, you see. So something is wanting to rebalance within your inner psyche that has to do with how much control you're taking, what's the fear, what's the shocks you've been going through, and how much assertion are you doing. And clearly there might be something, you know, ready to blow. That creepy part may be coming out, and you feel it, like you want to blow up, you know, at somebody. It could very well be that, you know, as well. So there's a few, and I see here, Gail, a few dynamics, a few, you know, offerings, if you will, on a soul level, your inner psyche level, that is being presented to you to help you through whatever you're going through. And this dream elucidates it, and the psyche made it so nightmarish that you would remember. And it's helping you,
that's so
you know,
true.
Process, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Michelle, because I was, like, trying to wrap my head around that. And I did get some of the stuff that you brought up today, but I just didn't really know how to put it all together. So thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Okay, here we go. I'm waiting for our guestie. Let's see if they're in line. I think so. Wow, that was a powerful dream. I am reeling from that. I will do a dream interpretation coming from the Jungian and Sanoa perspective. So, Tamara, I'll do it. I've done it before. I love them. Yeah, and sometimes we get these archetypal dreams. I mean, it's so powerful. And how cool we have with us today, practicing clinical psychologist and a Jungian analyst. I love Jungian work. Let's get everybody, listen. And by the way, I did hear that our guest is open to questions. So hang on the line. If you did want a reading and you wanted to chat, I am here also next week, every Wednesday, right? But now it is time for awakening conversation with our awakened guest. And I'm really, really excited to have him on the program today. We've got Carl Greer, who's a practicing clinical psychologist, Jungian analyst, and shamanic practitioner. He also teaches at the C.G. Jung Institute of Chicago. I've been there before. And we're going to be diving in and chatting with him about his recent book, which I told you about, Change Your Story, Change Your Health, and kind of diving in and looking at some different perspectives. If you want to Google the book, Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. Like I said earlier, right up our alley. So I want to welcome him to the program. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hey. Yay!
Glad to be here.
Oh, glad to have you here as well. And I did get a notation that you're open to answer questions, which is great.
Sure.
Yay! Again, to the Jungian Institute, and great place, great place. So, first thing I'd love to know is how you got on your path. I always love to ask people your first awakening and what were the succession of awakenings or awakening that led you to do this amazing work, because you've really dovetailed a nice, wonderful mixture of transformative and healing work for people in your practice, as well as in your books that you write as well. So I'm just a little curious about that, if you'd share that with us today.
Well, I grew up in a family that worked in industry. My dad and relatives had worked in the steel industry, and I had worked in the mills when I was in high school and college. And then I went to graduate school after graduating as an engineer, and I went to graduate school at Columbia University and taught there, and then became a businessman. But none of those things really were speaking to my soul as much as the call to do healing work. And I then became a clinical psychologist and did shamanic work. And then towards the latter part of my career, I've been doing philanthropic work and more healing work and doing some writing. So it's been a success of changes that have taken place in, you know, 8-10 year increments.
Wow, to go from engineer, to go from that kind of background, did you just have a kind of an inkling, like, I'm more interested in this, I'm more interested in the self-development or the transpersonal, the spiritual? Did you always have that, and then it just built, getting more and more, where you said, I'm going to make the change? Or was it something that happened at a certain specific time that all of a sudden this came in your awareness?
I think in some ways I would have rather have done the kind of work that I'm doing now earlier, but I thought that men should be, you know, working to earn a living, and I didn't know back then if I could earn a living doing healing work. And my peers and family had all been in business, and so I put aside my desire to do these things, and until it became more imperative that I do. And that started when I was around 45 years old, Michelle.
I love this, Carl, because so many people, you know, have this kind of next level awakening where they want to do something different in their life. And a lot of times they're just paralyzing. Don't do it. Or they say, I can't, I'm too old, or I'm too much in this career or that career. So that you had that, you know, strength and courage and, you know, frankly, connection to your soul to do that is really inspirational. We get a lot of calls on that. I don't want to do what I'm doing anymore. And I'm really a healer. I want to help people. So how did you come to do that? Because that's a big leap. That's a big leap.
Well, I was in a situation that I could when I had to get my doctorate in clinical psychology to work, and I took me 8 years to do it. So I just had to balance work, family, and life. And then when I went on to become a Jungian analyst, that took another 5 years. So I didn't give up all of the things I was doing, but it took longer for me to do these things than it would have been had I just had nothing else to do. So I just started to do it and fit it into my life, and the years went by.
Wow. What an inspiration you are. Now, you wrote a previous book, I believe, Change Your Story, Change Your Life.
Yes.
And so now you're moving more into the focus of, which I think is all obviously healing, but specifically your health. Is it the physical health that you're looking at, and change the story of your health using shamanic and Jungian techniques for healing?
Yes, it is. When I wrote the first book, I was looking at other aspects of one's life besides health, like relationships and psychology and jobs and so forth. But after writing it, I had a number of people, might have been just the stages of where they were in their lives, but they had health issues they wanted to talk about. And as I'm getting older, I'm more aware of health issues myself. So I thought I'd write a book about changing the story of your health. Not to say that it's not related, Michelle, to our psychologies, mm-hmm. our relationships, and other aspects of our life, mm-hmm. but it's basically looking at your physical health.
Right, the physical. Now, we're getting a little bit of a feedback. Are you on a speakerphone by any chance, Carl?
You want me to put that up?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Just put
thanks,
up.
Wildflower Wind. Yes, yes.
Better?
We had one of the listeners that noticed. Yes, much better, much better. Yeah.
Good.
And you might have to speak up a little bit. Yeah, thank you. Thanks in the chat.
Okay.
That's. They're my co-pilots in the chat. Co-host, co-pilots, and sound engineers.
Good,
yes,
good,
yes, much
good.
Better. Yeah. So what made you move? One thing I'm curious about is because you've woven in, you said, the shamanic and Jungian techniques for healing. What does that look like?
Well, what I find, you know, when people start to really be honest with whatever their health story is
mm-hmm.
and then start to decide what they'd like to change, sometimes
mm-hmm.
they're not able to make changes because of parts of themselves that don't want to change. And the Jungian and the shamanic
yes.
practices help us look at unconscious parts of ourselves that may be keeping us from change. And there are a variety
mm-hmm.
of practices like journey work or dream work or spending time in nature and interacting with it, or believing
mm-hmm.
that parts of our ailments have a wisdom that we can access, and techniques for talking to our symptoms, accessing our inner healers and working with them. These are all
mm-hmm.
the Jungian shamanic practices that I discuss in my book, and they really are attempting to get information and energy from places we normally don't go to get such things. And the
mm-hmm.
idea, Michelle, within us, we have more capacity to do self-healing than we normally think, and we don't have to turn everything over to the experts.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that you have put this in a book. It's like, to me, also reminds me of what we call parts processing. And, wow. So you literally have these techniques or processes in the book that people can follow along and do themselves?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Wow. Wow. I can just tell you, and I'm sure you have stories. It reminds me of somebody I worked with years ago who had two back surgeries, and they were going for a third because they still had pain. And when we did the inner work connecting to the back, it was all about they hadn't wanted to move. I don't know,
sure.
they were moving from the South somewhere to California, and it was out of anger, and it was because they didn't want to pack, they didn't really want to move, that this condition happened.
Yep.
When they got in touch with that and the anger that they had with their husband for relocating and moving, totally went away. And, yeah, so I definitely have seen the results of this and believe in this wholeheartedly. What I love about your book is that you're making it now accessible that people can do this on their own. They can become their own practitioner, their own shamanic healer, and work with what's coming up for them on a health level and do these techniques on their own. I think that is so brilliant and so helpful. Because sometimes you can't run to somebody, and you don't always want to. You know, sometimes you want to have that. To me, and also I want to get your take, it's kind of a sacred relationship, I feel, when we do start turning inward and looking at ourselves and taking the time to care and nurture ourselves and to heal ourselves. Do you have any thoughts about that dynamic, that relationship that you can share with us?
Oh, absolutely. You know, first, just to comment on one of the things about the tendency to want to, you know, run to somebody else to fix it. I think we do have, as you said, a capacity to do our own self-healing. And
mm-hmm.
As we start to view ourselves as bigger than perhaps we think, and it is in some ways a sacred opportunity to be here in this life for as long as we have to experience what we experience. And if we see that we're part of a larger picture of birth, life, and death, and our health is part of all those things, and respectfully start to work with it. Many changes can take place, just like you were describing with the woman with the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and surgery didn't help. I'm not saying surgery can't help sometimes, but it clearly was this very powerful. That's one thing that I learned in that situation, how powerful we are in sometimes creating these things, you know, as a form of expression or rebellion or to get us on a different track. You talk about this healer within. And is in your book, is there a process or a way to get to know that part? And in my mind, I would say probably strengthen it. Is there a way that people can do that?
Absolutely. I have a process which is akin to the Gestalt empty chair process or the Jungian active imagination mm-hmm. process, which I call dialogue. You know, I talk about this in both of my books, but the idea is that and this is also an idea in energy medicine, that everything has a certain energy and an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And we can interact with that. And so in this dialoguing process, we ask these parts of us, in this case the inner healer, you know, what message do you have for me today about my health or about my diabetes or about my rheumatoid arthritis? And then I describe how to become that part and have that part answer. And it sounds kind of self-conscious and awkward, and people sometimes feel that when they first do it, but I've never seen anybody who hasn't practiced that not get really amazing insights, because they can really start to access the wisdom of that part, in this case the inner healer, and get answers that really they didn't expect. And then they from the standpoint of their consciousness can reflect on what they heard and decide, hey, do they want to do something different in regards to their health than they have been? And at the end of the day, all these practices, going to a doctor or anybody else, lead to are suggestions, pills, new ways of eating or exercising or drinking or taking supplements that we have to decide ourselves if we want to do it or not. And I'm just saying that the practices in my book give us more things to decide whether or not we want to do. And I found for myself and for others that the stuff that's suggested by our inner healer, by our symptoms, by being in nature, by doing journey work, can be very useful in helping us become healthier.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel and find that over time that this inner healer that people connect to, can that connection get stronger, or maybe perhaps the voice of it get stronger? Or
absolutely, I guess any relationship that you have more conversations with, or you spend more time with, has the potential for being strengthened, and it's no different when talking about an inner healer.
Mm-hmm. So it's just the consistency and connecting with that part is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, and consistency.
I love,
and spending some time with oneself to do some of these practices and reflect. And it's not like a panacea that, you know, you have 10 steps that you can memorize and then you'll be healthier than ever and do that in 45 minutes. It's a process, but it's one that leads to incremental change that over time can lead to big changes. And I've observed that.
And you say this power is in the asking, is the posing of the questions.
And the answers that you get.
And the answers that you're receiving. Okay. So I know one of the things you talk about in your book was like, what do I need to release or let go of? Or what do I need to bring in? You call that expanded awareness exercises, which I found really profound. Now, do you have people get in a more relaxed state or meditative state, more of a shamanic state? Is that part of it, or do we need to do that, or do we just kind of ask?
I think to prepare for what I call expanded awareness practices, Michelle, it's useful to do some breathing exercises. However you get into a slightly altered state where you're, in altered states, what happens, the sympathetic nervous system is taken over more by the parasympathetic nervous system. Our brain waves slow down, our neurotransmitters change, we have less stress response, less cortisol, and just to get in that state by itself is a benefit to our immune systems. But from that state, we're able to get insights from our intuitive nature. And so I think, to your point, it's important if one can find ways to relax and then do the practices.
And
I talked about
it. So it's actually good for your immune system. So it's enhancing the immune system by being in this state?
Yes, it is.
Love that. Wow. So it is actually, so it's not just mental emotion. There's a physical or physiological component to taking the time to come in and get into that expanded awareness, that yummy state. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you go back to the woman who had the back issues and the anger that was, again, in energy medicine, everything's connected to everything else. So a belief and emotion and connected to a thought can be connected to your endocrine system, can be connected to what hormones and neurotransmitters get activated. So everything is connected. And if you can change the thoughts and therefore the emotions and then the beliefs, you can change some physiological responses.
And it's interesting what we're talking about and what you've written about. And by the way, those that are just now joining us or you're just now tuning in, we're speaking with Carl Greer, and we're talking about his book, Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. And if you did have a question or a comment that you'd like to ask him, just press 1 on your keypad, those of you that are listening by phone, or you can put a question in the chat. My intuition must be on because we have a question in the chat, Carl. My question can wait. Okay. Tamara's asking, does the inner healer help us with our nutrition choices too? Intuitive eating, for example.
Well,
that's a good question.
Yes. So you'd ask your inner healer, and maybe one way you could do it, you blow into some object, let's say a stone, the energy of your inner healer, and you put it across of you, and you ask it, can you give me any insights into the eating choices that I have? And so it could be an open-ended question. Then you go over, pick up that stone, take a breath, and embody the wisdom of the inner healer. And then you who have asked the question will receive an answer from the inner healer. And this is a practice that you have to go through a bit in order for it not to be self-conscious, but allow the inner healer to answer the question. And trust that there's some part of you that knows maybe more than you're aware of what you should be doing in terms of your eating. And at least give it the same courtesy of thinking about it as you would reading about healthy eating in a magazine or from some expert. At least it's another piece of data that may be for you exactly the right thing to consider.
Okay. So, again, it's the posing the question, holding the space, waiting for the answer. And then this you're asking with the stone. I love that, to embody that. We've got another question, and this is, I think it's Pekaver. I hope I'm saying this right. I wonder if he could speak to sugar addiction and how we can get help from the divine. I struggle with the food part of health. I live at the gym and work out a lot, but struggle with healthy eating due to addiction, food addiction, I mean. As in rewarding myself or feeding myself for a bad day or for a certain feeling. So it's kind of a reward.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting question that many of us, how do you break kind of an addiction or a habit? And usually the habit of the addiction may serve some purpose. Maybe it's a treat for having a tough day at the end of the day, helps you relax.
Mm-hmm.
So if you step back from that, say, I'm asking the question because part of me feels that I ought to change this, but clearly another part doesn't want to change it. What might I do differently to give me the same sense of relaxation? And then just at the margin, make two changes. You know, instead of having two bowls of ice cream, you have one, and then you do something else to allow you to unwind. And maybe that's taking a walk, or maybe that's listening to music, or maybe that's doing a little exercise. And you try that out for a day or two. And then maybe you give up a little bit more. At the same time, maybe you're going on a journey that I describe in my book, and you go back into your earlier life and say, you know, what aspect of my past is contributing to my sugar craving today? And so now you're getting some more information. What do I need to give up in order for that to be less? And what do I need to gain? That's another way to do it. I have other journeys that you can go to in my book to give you other insights around whatever issue it may be, and including sugar addiction. I talk about something called a nature painting, where the hope is you just get more information and more motivated to change because you do these practices. But it is tough to break any habit, and these are if you're going to take away something, you need to bring something else in. And all I'm saying is, even though some unhealthy habits give you an immediate payoff, maybe you can get some of the payoffs that you're getting from them that have less negative health effects. And these are some of the ways to find what those are.
Now, Carl, could you, I have another question about talking about, could you go back and talk about the part that you say sometimes there is a part of us that doesn't want to change, or perhaps knows we're doing a behavior that's unhealthy or, you know, rude or mean or non-life enhancing, whatever. And, you know, is it possible to get in touch with that part, I guess, is part of the, that's my part of the question, but their question is, could you go back to that and talk about, you know, why wouldn't I, if I want to make change or I'm doing something that's unhealthy for me, why wouldn't I want to change it?
Well, the thing is, it's just like a New Year's resolution. At the beginning of the year, you say, I'm going to start to go to the gym and exercise more. And many times, that people don't do that. So why is that? I mean, they want to change, but I would say there's part of them that really doesn't. You don't want to get up. You're tired. You have excuses. And so, yes, it is possible to engage that part in the same kind of a dialogue and process and ask it, you know, I'm confused. I want to go to the gym more. I see you as not wanting to go to the gym. You know, what message do you have for me? Why are you making it difficult for me to go to a gym? And then let that part speak. And you may be, again, surprised at why what it has to say.
It's sounding to me like it's really this, I would say, listen, hear, acknowledge, understand. It sounds like it's really getting touched with these parts and really listening and to see what it has to say, kind of instead of strong, you know, arming it. Seeing why does it not want to do what's healthier. Is it, the caver saying, good question about the part of us not wanting to change. I mean, clearly, cognitively, consciously, we know I need not to do this, or I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But this other part comes through, you know, comes through, is stronger, I guess, you know, it seems.
Yes. Yeah. Well, at least it's the one that's ultimately determining the behavior. And besides working with it directly, if you believe we're part of a bigger ecosystem, you know, like nature, go into a favorite place in nature, lie down on the ground, and then kind of relax, and then say, you know, we're all part of a bigger picture. Ask the earth, you know, what do I need to change my habits about sugar? Trust that nature has an awareness just as we are observing it. It's observing us. And if you start to think that some of these synchronistic events or the appearance of an animal, they all have a message for us if we're open to hear it, Michelle. That's very powerful as well.
So we have someone saying, for me, it's understanding what the payoff is for me with a not so healthy habit.
That's very true.
Is that it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and can you get that payoff from something that's ultimately more healthy for you? And to do that, mm-hmm. you have to be willing to make a little sacrifice in the moment of the stuff that you're doing that's giving you the immediate payoff for the hope that you're going to get better payoff down the road. And that just takes practice and in changing incrementally.
Okay. Now we have another question. Does any of this relate to the ego seeking balance so that the part of us that wants the sugar, or anything else bad because the other side is imbalanced?
Yes, you could think about it. I mean, at the end of the day, to have new behaviors, you have to have a new homeostasis, a new balance.
Right.
And maybe when you talk to that part, you learn, hey,
right.
I represent the fact that you need more sweetness in your life. And if you can find sweetness, and that may even be when you tease that out, it may be just people that you feel more simpatico with. Maybe when you can do that, or you find an activity that somehow gives you more joy, then that allows you to give up the sugar, you know, the proxy for sweetness, because you find a way to get sweetness in your life. Now, making that up is a potential conversation, but
right.
I can see that a real one for some people.
Mm-hmm. So it's even looking at it symbolically, do we have that sweetness, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, in that
so
example.
So looking at
example. If you could be in dialogue with your craving for sugar, you know, why do I crave you so much? And the answer could be because you're looking for comfort. You're looking for sweetness. You're looking for somebody to take care of you, or somebody to help you wind down, whatever the answer is would be. And that allows you to kind of say, all right, I hear you. What if I were to do such and such? Recognizing that you don't want to give your power away, that all these parts have a voice, but ultimately you, from the ego position, have to decide what you're going to do or not do. But at least you're honoring all these parts and the wider range of nature in the example that I gave to get more information than you had before that you can use to make a decision on.
Mm-hmm. And Denise in the chat is saying, I have this story from childhood that sugar equals love. So, yeah, that's pretty powerful. You know, and I guess, you know, we carry, because you're saying change the story of your health. I mean, we carry the story around with us, right? It's a mental emotional story that's, you know, obviously affecting us physically.
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful, the fact that she knows that. I mean, the idea is if she's thinking sugar equals love, then everybody needs love. In order for me to get love, I'm going to have sugar. But if she can say, are there other ways I can get love that would be healthier for me, that gives her some insights about things she might do that she otherwise wouldn't think of. And what you said, Michelle, mm-hmm. about the stories we tell, I mean, think of a man who comes from a family of other men who die before they're 60 with heart disease. So one story a person like that could have would be, you know, everybody in my family who's a man dies before they're 60 of heart disease.
Mm.
I probably will too, and there's really not much I can do about it. And you contrast that with the family dies of heart disease. But I'm not going to be one of them. I'm not going to be afraid of that. I'm going to try to, you know, live differently so that doesn't happen. And those two stories are really powerfully different.
Mm-hmm. So are you suggesting, too, that you can notice, like, sugar equals love or whatever, that the heart, you know, the example that you're giving. Are you suggesting, so let's say through self-reflection, through the inquiry, we can find out what we're telling ourselves and how it's affecting us physically or physiologically? Part of the premise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and then we have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really powerful. I mean, there's even been a lot of research that's done. We had Dr. Bruce Lipton on before and talked about this, as well as some other, and I've read articles and in medical journals that they're finding knowing a little bit about your health is greater history, but knowing too much can be detrimental, just for the example that you gave, because it sets up this expectation to people that if they didn't have or didn't know about it so detailed, and of course, you know, healthy diet and lifestyle and, you know, those factors they factor in, they're finding a lot of people don't get the ails or, you know, illnesses or conditions that was supposed to be hereditary. So I find that really powerful, coupled with what you're saying, you know, as we're talking, I'm really seeing it. It is, to some degree, it is a story. It's a story that's, you know, written and we're playing out to some degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the starting points is, what is the story? And a lot of us don't want to take the time to really, and I have some exercise that people can get at what their story is. But when you take the time to be honest with yourself, that's the starting point.
It reminds me, I don't know if it was Jung or if it was Einstein, but that, you know, paraphrase it, if something, if everything's an illusion, you might as well pick an empowering one. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah. It's kind of reminding me of what you're saying. But first and foremost, you have to see what are you telling yourself and what are you believing about yourself?
Yes.
Right. Which is pretty, pretty powerful. And then you're having this, as you call it, this dialogue, with these parts of yourself, getting that inner wisdom to know what to do. Now for you, Bam, how did you come up with this? Because, you know, was this something you went through yourself or in your practice?
I've been doing this for a long time. I'll be 77 on my next birthday, so I've had some years to experiment. And so everything I talk about in my book, I have done for myself. All the journeys that I talk about, I've been on. And so I've just done this, and I've done it with enough other people to see that it does work. And so I thought I would share it. And in my first book, Michelle, in this book too, I'm really interested in taking these practices that are somewhat esoteric and using them in practical ways in our everyday life. That's my goal.
Yeah, I love that you're doing that, because, again, it's healing, but it's also empowering that people can sit down and do something like this and understand what is the story, what are they telling themselves, what is the story that's being written, you know, whether it's mental, emotional, or about their health, the choices they're making. You know, you're giving them the tools to put them in touch with that part of themselves. And I would say it's not going to be in a device. Sometimes you it's in you. You could be on a deserted island. What are you going to do? You've got to be with you.
Yep.
You know that, and connect with that inner healer inside.
And on the desert island too. What are you going to do? I mean, with all the sand and the water and the trees and everything.
Right. Yeah. So you're really bringing in that nature aspect and that interconnectedness to nature is what I'm hearing from you.
Yes.
Do you find in your personal life as well as your practice, Carl, that, you know, we say nature heals, but do you see that? That's kind of anecdotal, but do you see that it actually – people taking the time to be in nature, commune with nature, or being more in nature rather than maybe like a city environment, does have a consistent healing effect?
Well, there's some aspect to it. In other words, you know, if you're around evergreen trees, there's something that a chemical called fight inside that are really correlated with improved immune systems. You know, if you've been around moving water, you get more negative ions, and that boosts your neurotransmitter serotonin. And then you have a greater sense of vitality, less depression, less fatigue. So that's true. Being around soil helps our gut, and we're better able to respond to our environment in ways that as our gut bacteria changes, our DNA can be affected, our biology, and our longevity. So there's lots of evidence to spend time in nature is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And go back to what's in the trees, the evergreen trees?
It's called thytoncide. It's a natural chemical that they secrete.
Oh, interesting. Well, so that's amazing. So it really
just
is,
walking
you know,
in the woods. I mean, it's been among big trees.
Right?
Just walking in the woods can be calming, or being at a sunset, watching a sunset, or moonlight on the water, or just looking at the green, blue water from a distance. All those have a physiological effect.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, we had a listener was. You know, asking about the sugar and the reward. Now, I'm wondering some of these things that you're saying about in nature, if that can offstave to actually take a walk on the beach, maybe before doing, or and then doing the inquiry there, you know, or being around the trees. Or would you suggest that to people, like actually maybe take yourself out of the environment you're in where the triggers
absolutely.
Are and going somewhere? You would. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, it helps you do the expanded awareness work, but it's also healing just in and of itself to be there.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, I just thought of it while you know, it seems kind of common sense, but I just thought of it. Like, that might be a good place to actually do the inquiry, is get in that kind of environment and open up to that. Not only, like you said, you're getting the benefits by being in nature, but I think that it would help connect you perhaps more within or to that part of you.
Yes.
Pretty amazing. I want to see if anybody has any last questions for Carl. Those of you that are just tuning in or you're listening, if you want more information on Carl Greer, we've been talking with author of Change the Story of Your Health. You can go to Carl Greer. GREER.com and more insights. This has been really fascinating, Carl. I mean, this is really, I'm really excited that you did your book, that there's a book out there like this that's putting it so much. Got a lot of people in the chat saying thank you so much. Really appreciate your sharing. Much respect for your work. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well,
really,
thank you, Michelle. Thank the listeners, too.
Yeah, and you put it in such a format that it's easy for people to read and understand, so they can really, you know, use the tools on their own. That's what I also think is really brilliant, as well as just, you know, going into the descriptions of what they're doing and why something works.
No, that's
great.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, Carl, thanks so much for taking the time to be on Awakenings. Really, really appreciate it, and just love all the great work that you're doing.
Well, thanks for having me, Michelle. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Much peace.
Okay.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. Okay, we were speaking with author Carl Greer and talking about his recent book, Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing, available wherever books are sold. Obviously, you can get it on Amazon. Beautiful cover, by the way, as well. You can follow him on Twitter or Facebook, Twitter at Carl Greer, and his website is carlgreer.com. Wow, what an insightful guest. Really blessed. And thanks for the great questions, everyone. Wow. And my wonderful people in the chat, love you lots. Love you lots, those listening by phone and those listening by computer and then listening later in the archives. Thanks for making Awakenings what it is. We have a great community here, and we attract such wonderful guests. I love what this guy is doing. I really do. And, you know, I've seen it in my practice. I've seen it personally. I saw with Yoshi doing the energy work, you know. And, yay, Carol, you got to call in. Listening live. Anyway, everyone, if you are on the line and you had a question or a comment, want a dream interpretation or reading, I am here next Wednesday. Will you be here? Join me. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, everybody, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.